Right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Farm podcast, a bit of Mint Sauce Chronicles. This is episode 186. I'm going to go through the format because I still get emails. Format is simple. We release about four shows a month. Well, we do release four shows a month, depending on how many days are in a month. Members get full access to the full podcast plus download. I will say some of the search engines, the download won't work on them, so you need to go on a search engine that sort of gives you the facility to download. Non-members just get part one. All shows are released on Saturdays. So I even got somebody emailing me saying, I didn't get an email this Saturday, but it doesn't matter because we release them every Saturday, so it's irrelevant. It is good to sign up. Reason you won't have got an email, whoever it was that emailed in, was because the company you're using for emails would have put it down as spam. They go out automatically. But anyway. We release them on Podomatic that also ship them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google, Apple. We also put the first part, or I put the first part, on Odyssey and Rumble. More or less everything we've ever done is backed up there on Odyssey since 2020, 2021. All the old clips I used to put on, they're all there. All the Matrix videos are all there. So anybody who emails me now and asks me where the Matrix videos, I just use a button that says delete on it. I don't know if that's kind or not. I just delete.
A bit arrogant, that fair.
Thanks. Yeah. But, I mean, I am explaining things. So if you ask me where Matrix videos are, you skip past this bit, delete. That's it. thanks for all the comments and emails that I've deleted. No, I'm joking. Especially if you're asking me where the Matrix videos are.
Someone actually asked me that over there.
People do. People ask, where are the Matrix videos?
I didn't actually know. I listen to you say it every week.
Yeah, I know. It makes me chuckle. You've even asked me. It makes me chuckle because people say, oh, thanks, Dom and Chris, or Chris and Dom, for releasing another Matrix video. And I don't put it, but you don't even know I'm releasing them, do you? You don't even know I'm making them.
I'm not involved in them. I send you a few videos every now and again, but
other than that. To be fair, the reason they started was when we were doing live shows, when we do a live show, I put a 30-minute countdown on there. That's where they started from. It actually started at 10 minutes with the first live show we did. Then it went to 15. Then it went to 20. Now it's at 30.
For at least 6 months, you've been saying I'm not doing anymore.
Yeah, now I'm on 38.
I won't do any more than Matrix videos. Yeah. Take too much time up. Yeah. And another one pops up.
Yeah. And now I think, I put one out last night. I had Marvin Gaye on What's Going On, which
I watched it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched it.
But it went in a blink, didn't it? It did go in a blink.
I think I nodded off before it finished. Yeah. I usually put things like that out.
When I'm putting them together, it can get a bit emotional, especially when you're looking back at 2020 or looking at some of them.
Very necessary documents.
I didn't realise, right? Well, I should have done, but how many videos I've put in my little hard drive. How many of these news clips and stuff, because I don't watch news, but how many I downloaded or people sent me going back 2020, 2021, and I saved them all.
All these are
from my archive mainly.
Yeah. No, they are necessary. It's necessary to see that shit, isn't it?
Yeah. We just finished recording, actually. I've just finished editing, or whatever you want to call it, the Huxley 8. Well, no, I don't know when we're going to release that. Might be a few weeks yet, but I think we're away in August, aren't we? So I think we might release it while we're away. So the Huxley 8 is finished. We actually recorded the first hour of Huxley 9 while we've been in early retirement.
Forever, aren't we? Never going to
end. Well, it's the gift that keeps giving. It'll be never ending, that will be. In these last two, we're actually going through the children of Thomas Huxley and where their kids have ended up and grandkids in society. Some interesting people, as we spoke about last week, and we mentioned Chris, and also not just the people who they were, but also the entities that they worked for. we mentioned the other day, then, and the links into the Attenboroughs and things like that. And that lady who made that dress for Princess Kate and stuff. They all roads, for some reason, lead to Huxley's, even the Freud's and stuff like that, don't they?
Mm. And I started thinking about it differently while we were doing that. It was while we were doing it as well. Because with all them family members, I think I said on the show, I can't remember if I said after, actually. It's almost, are they like a demon bloodline that have been interjected into humanity to like web out and take over every little aspect of humanity? It's almost what it seemed like when we were doing it.
I downloaded an interview that Aldous Huxley did. And somebody says, this interview is basically saying he's a fantastic author of not a novels. And he actually said, I feel like a fraud, I'm not a novelist. And he was smiling when he said it. And it's like, it was strange. Where did he actually write these books, you know? Asking yourself.
Seems like they were written by a committee of some kind, like 1984.
Well, he said, I'm not a novelist, I'm an essayist. That's what he said.
I would say that that's what George Orwell was originally, wasn't he? More of an essayist than a novelist.
Yeah. Yeah, which, again, when you look at Huxley's books previously to Brave New World, they were very similar to what Orwell's were previous to
social
Animal
commentary.
Farm.
Social commentary, just like basic social commentary. I mean, you do have to wonder, don't you? I don't know what's fucking real anymore. I just can't. I don't know. I don't know what to think about things.
Mariana Springer have a field day with you.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we're going to go into that Trump debacle.
Yeah.
But you were saying today, I'm not saying it with it, and I'm saying, fine, but who knows what the fuck happened?
Yeah, exactly. I know.
You literally do not know.
No.
And then you think, I think you, that way, we're having a conversation, you started off on the fact, yeah, but JFK, he was, and then you kind of paused, different, was he though? Who knows what happened?
Yeah.
Well, see, what was interesting about that, when the Trump debacle happened, I looked on the Daily Mail in the morning because I couldn't sleep that night. And I was up really, I woke up at 4 a.m. I couldn't get back to sleep. And I started looking through news as you do. And I'd seen it on the news in the evening. I saw it pop up in the evening. And then I started looking at it. And the comments in, there was some actress had said she thought it was fake. So they immediately hit the fake news button, as they do.
Mm.
And in the comments, whether they're real or not, again, you don't know. There was people who were saying, this person should be cancelled. It's ridiculous.
It just starts off an argument.
But what's interesting is people are actually saying, instead of saying nobody should be cancelled, this person should be cancelled. Mm. So again, we're summoning in his own demise, aren't we? You know, people shouting out for people to be cancelled.
Well, just flicking back to Huxley, who says he was an essayist. Essayist. But if you think about what he wrote, what he and say Orwell wrote about, they were writing about, and we know this, they were writing about what's happening now. It's just a softer version of what's happening now, where people are getting cancelled for saying that's fake. But what is fake? What does it actually mean? Because, you know, we'll come into that in a bit anyway. But it's.
But I would hazard a guess. Like we've said before, those books are still in schools now, right? Why? Why did somebody want us to look at the dystopia? Is it, you know, to materialize it, look at the dystopia, two versions of a dystopian future? Is that, I don't know.
Yeah, there were probably more than one. I mean, we're going to talk about one in a second, aren't we? But yeah. All of these dystopian futures have a habit of coming true.
Mm.
And nobody believes it then. It's a bit like Hollywood, isn't it? Mm. Hollywood makes a film. It comes true, but nobody actually believes that Hollywood had any sort of a pre-tell to.
Well, look where we are with the whatever AI is supposed to be. I don't believe it's any form of intelligence. But how far away is that from Terminator now?
Yeah,
and that came out in the '80s.
Well, I put a video on. I think it was this Matrix one about putting in chips in people's brains and basically turning them into super soldiers. So, I mean, how far away is that? I think that clip were about 10 years ago.
If you think the commercial version of that is a Neuralink, isn't it? And that's, I don't know how far away. But if they're doing it commercially, it's already been done, hasn't it?
Well, I'd say it's probably, again, they've got like an inbuilt thing in the iPhones and smartphones, haven't they? That can alter this. And then, obviously, how many people have they tapped over did you see it? You might not have seen it, but did you see that? You've seen it before. It was a different version of a video where it had that little piece of graphene oxide flicking through what were meant to be. How many of these have people got floating around assembling in Transformers Assemble? inside.
Avengers Assemble.
Avengers Assemble. But yeah. And it's good to know that, talking to superheroes, that the Avengers, who's Wolverine? Who's the Wolverine guy?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman, who were coming out and telling everybody to get speared, and how he loves Bill Gates, because he knows everything about global time warming, boiling.
He was floating his book around.
But him and Ryan Reynolds, great Ryan Reynolds with beady eyes, they're telling everybody to give blood to NHS now.
Are they really?
Yeah. Marvel comics and stuff like that, getting in on the act of the blood.
They've got a new film coming out, that's why. Them two.
Right.
Deadpool and Wolverine fighting each other.
Right. Yeah. Is anybody really interested anymore?
I'm not, and I'm a lifelong superhero fan. I'm even a superhero fan to the point where I was embarrassed as a teenager.
Mm. Well, my union used to be into superheroes. He never mentions them at all now, and that's the age group they're aiming at.
They've killed it off.
It's too woke. It's too many whatever in it. It's just too many agendas in a film. There doesn't need to be. I went pure Yorkshire then. Don't need to be. Go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, there's nothing in them anymore. The films now are just bad. A kid at work showed me, actually, the other day, today, actually, showed me he had an article on his phone. And he's a young lad, but he's pretty smart. And he showed me this article, and it said, 2025 will be the best year of films ever. And he said, look at this. Every one of them was a sequel or a rehash of an old film. Mm. And I heard or read something interesting about this, which is the reason they're rehashing all this old stuff, even Marvel stuff, to be fair now, and like Indiana Jones, all this old stuff, like, and there's a new Alien film coming out, just constantly rehashing old 80s stuff.
Yeah, they were Mad Max one, but
But one of the reasons for it is that kids, the new generations, aren't interested in films anymore.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to tap into the 40s and 50s.
Get the parents to take them. And also, for
us to watch them. Because
we're not going to watch them because, I mean, let's face it, right? Say Mad Max. It's not Mad Max anymore. It's Mad Maxine, isn't it? And But it had Tina Turner in it in the 80s. You can't get more stereotypically women than that, can you?
Bird, yeah.
Yeah. So she was the ruler of Bartertown. And yet now they've got to make it so they've got all these, there's got to be an Hispanic, there's got to be a black woman, probably a tranny in there with pink hair, yada, yada, yada. And it's just, even we're not going to watch it anymore.
I'll watch the new Mad Max film out of interest because I like the last one.
Yeah, the last one were good.
Yeah.
And that were quite a woke film.
That was a little bit woke, because the woman was actually as hard as Mad Max, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Which wasn't a problem. It's not an issue. They didn't throw it in your face in that film.
Weren't overkill. No, that's not the problem. Hey, yeah, we were brought up on Aliens with Ripley. We were brought up with Sarah Connor in Terminator. All these things. You didn't not watch it because it had a woman lead role in it.
Not at all. Didn't even think about it.
No. No.
It's funny.
That's probably why you wear vests.
From Die Hard.
Sarah Connor.
Ripley. yeah, motherfucker. I watched a video the other day. I mean, you probably know that. You know The Thing, the Kurt Russell film?
Yeah.
I watched his video, and he's a guy who analyzes films, but he was just talking very, he wasn't on side with it at all. But he was saying how people have started to discuss that film now, that it's too male-orientated.
Right.
I mean, fucking hell, it's about a load of blokes in Antarctica. It just happens there's no women there.
I think Lass is too dog-orientated.
But what, yeah, exactly. But what I mean is, when I watched that, right, and I've seen that film numerous times, never once did I think there's too many men in it, right? Like you said, I never thought, why is Ripley the action hero of Alien? Never crossed my mind because I didn't think about it. Yeah. And then it got on to, not only is there too many men, there's two black guys there. Then they started discussing why there were two, what were the meat. It never occurred to me as a kid watching it. I never thought, why is that black guy? Oh, You just saw people. Yeah. That's all you saw. You didn't see men, women, or fucking colour or anything. You just saw people. No. You didn't think about it. Kids don't see colour and genders, do they? They don't think about it.
That's why it's easy to imprint this shit in the brain.
Yeah.
Because they know they don't see it. So it's subliminally just injected that that's normal.
Yeah. You've got to get them while they're that young.
I mean, you look at Willy Wonka, the first Gene Wilder one, right?
Yeah.
If they'd have wanted to camp that up, they could have done, couldn't they?
Yeah.
They couldn't have got. They could have easily done that, couldn't they? And it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would have been sinister. Don't get me wrong. However,
it's a sinister story, isn't it? Like a lot of those kids' stories are. But the original one's brilliant. How can they remake it with an acclaimed director, i.e., Tim Burton? Mm. How can they make it so bad? It was shit compared to the original 1970s one.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even no comparison in quality, was there?
No. How can you get it? How can we get films so wrong now? I mean, how many times have they tried to remake Terminator and just failed?
I don't think it's films, Chris. I mean, we read a lot.
We've talked about it.
All the culture. I mean, I'll use sport as an example because I went into sport and I'm not now. I can look at it as a non-smoker, if you like, an ex-smoker type of mindset. Yeah. And you look at sport now and how it's being watered down to be an agenda-driven vehicle. And every fashion, if people are into fashion, there's nothing wrong being into these things. It's good to have an interest. But now it's all agenda driven. It's not about having a nice pair of trousers. They've got to be designed by some, I don't know, you know, some person who's going to tell you he's gay and he came out and it were hard work for him and all this type. They've got to have that silly story behind it. Why not just say they're a nice pair of trousers or it's a good film or it's a nice record? Why does it have to have this nonsense that's behind it all?
Yeah, I'm like an ex-smoker with films.
Yeah. Well, it's true, isn't it? And I was thinking about how people, I'll use cricket as an example. The first game of cricket was a five-day game, and that's all that were played. Then it was one day, and now it's 2020. That lasts about 2 hours. And,
that's happened? I didn't even know.
So there's three types of game. Same thing, still throwing a ball at 90 mile an hour at people, but there's a long version, a middle version, and a very short version. And you see how the quality of the game, as in the skill of, again, going back to cooking's the same, you know.
Used to be the long version then?
Just used to be the long version, right?
Oh, right. I didn't
5 days, right? Five days, two innings, 5 days. Yeah. And it was like a chess game.
Yeah.
You know, you had to use your mind as well as your brawn and all that type of stuff.
Right.
Then it went to one day, which was a one-day game, right? And now it's 2020, so 20 overs. But what I'm trying to say is that the game, now, all the people that play 2020, a lot of them play test games, and the test match game, so the original game is absolutely, bobbins, it's on its knees now. And you look at that and you think, that's what's happened with culture. Everything we've done from being a mechanic, a joiner, whatever it is, has been degraded that much.
Mm.
That it's just dragged humans into this. Yeah, and also, the 2020 version fits in with the TikTok, Instagram, instant type of gear. It's got to be quick or it's shit.
Mm.
You know,
hence why kids are watching films.
Hence why kids don't want to sit down and watch a 3-hour film. They want to watch a 2-second TikTok video of somebody dropping an hammer on the foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or some of them videos that my young one watches sometimes, where it's just a load of lads sat in a room just doing pranks and they've got 2 million followers.
I watch a few of them with my daughter,
Yeah,
we're all guilty as
100%. But there's nothing. There's a bit like the we were talking about half an hour ago. Yeah, about energy drinks.
Mm.
Yeah, so you've got energy drinks that are inserted into society over the last 30, 40 years. Now, when we're out clubbing, vodka, Red Bulls, you know, all that type of stuff. When we're out, now you've got KSI and that Logan Paul or whatever he's called. They've got this prime drink that all kids are going for.
Who are they?
They're like YouTubers. And then they've turned into like boxers. And they make out the professional boxers. They've been accepted him wanting to fight Mike Tyson. And
is that
like
who that is? I didn't know.
Yeah.
They're
worth something like $200 or $300 million each.
From YouTube? From
From YouTube and all their advertising. Now they've invented this drink, this energy drink, that's basically got, it's just full of shit.
Yeah, of course.
But the cans are going for a fortune, you know?
I remember that debacle when they were selling them for a fortune.
So you insert an energy drink that gets young people's heart rates going up, then you jab them with something that causes heart issues. I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay, let's talk about President or ex-President Trumpet.
And his earring. Talk about Children of Men first, because we're just talking about films.
All right, go on then.
It slots in more. I just rewatched, and also rewatched Children of Men, because we've mentioned it loads of times, because very early on in the nonsense, we were saying, are we reaching that Children of Men? Is it all part of, you know, it pretty evidently is now, isn't it? I mean, we were talking about that in 2020. Is it going to be that Children of Men, losing? Let me read the, what is it out quickly, the plot from Wikipedia. In 2027, if anyone hasn't seen it, 18 years after human activities have caused widespread ecocide, which is that new word for, I suppose it's a cross between suicide, genocide.
Ecocide, yeah. That's what the word they're using, isn't it? Ecocide.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it in the show before. Mm. Total human infertility, war and global depression threaten the collapse of human civilizations. The United Kingdom is one of the few remaining nations with a functioning government and has become a police state in which immigrants are arrested and either imprisoned or executed. I rewatched this film, right? And talking about films, this was 2026 it came out. And it's a freaking
2026?
Sorry.
2006.
2006, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Takes place in 2027. Came out in 2006. But I rewatched it, and it is a quality film, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's up there as a...
Well, they were still making decent films at that time. I mean, iRobot were a good film, you know. They were actually still making some decent films, weren't they?
Yeah, and probably it was, what, 2010 or something like that. I don't know when it all started turning to shit.
I say when around Obama came in.
I think it really went to toss.
I'm not blaming him, I'm just saying around that time.
It fully went after COVID. It's kind of got worse since then, hasn't it? It's like...
When COVID hit.
Anyway, a few things to point out in this film, because I rewatched it. It's got like screens everywhere saying, see it, report it, if you see anyone, because it's all about immigration as well, which is also a good point. And they put in, immigrants are actually, I didn't notice a lot of this stuff when I watched it. I watched it when it came out. They've got them in cages, like caged up, and they've got detention centres for them and stuff like that. And when it's panning around, there's signs up saying, see it, you know, see and report it. I mean, there's a lot of that now. If you go on a train, you see signs saying, see it and report it, even though nothing ever happens.
Well, when you're on a train, you get an announcement coming on saying stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that came from the terrorist decade of the 20 years, from 2020, didn't it? But something else I noticed in it, there were cows burning in fields.
Right.
Well, I mean, it didn't even give an inclination of what that was. Massive divide between rich and poor, where everyone's just... Because there's no children, so everyone's lost hope. So, therefore, the clothes are dishevelled and everything's... And then there's these terrorists attacking as well. But one thing I did notice in it, and it kind of fleets on this. I think it says 18 years. In Wikipedia, it says 20. Pretty sure it said 18 years in the film since anyone's had a baby. And... They also mentioned that the two main characters in it, who were husband and wife, they split up when the child died during the 2008 flu pandemic.
Right.
So it didn't take a big suggestion to say, because it never tells you why the infertility thing started worldwide. Mm. Was it a jab after that started the infertility? And that takes you to 2027, which I thought, I never noticed that before.
We're certainly heading there, Chris, because... the replacement rates, as we know, I think it's 1.8 or something in this country.
Yeah, I think it's less fat.
Yeah, 1.8 or something.
We're not the worst, are we?
Well, Japan and South Korea, I think they're really down there.
Yeah. It's funny because even our Seb, my son, was talking to me about that yesterday, about the replacement rate. And he's not someone who looks at things like that. But it's obviously at his radar. And he was saying a lot of kids, his age group, because he ain't got any children yet, he's 30 next week, actually. He ain't got any kids yet, and he said, I don't know if I have them, whatever. He goes, but a lot of people his age, he said, they're just not having any.
No,
for him to notice that is quite
telling,
yeah. And also, I noticed in this film that I never noticed before, which I thought was bloody creepy. They've got adverts for these euthanasia kits, choose when you go kind of thing. They've got the slogan and everything, like an advert. And Michael Caine's in this film, and he's got his missus is. Catatonic. She's like, come.
Apparently, I remember,
because they were freedom fighters, weren't they? They were like freedom fighters, and they, as it was becoming a nation, a big, you know, state, whatever. And she got tortured. That's why she ends up in a catatonic state. Anyway, who is it? The main character, Clive Owen, goes to his house because he's his mate. He's like a stoner. He's like an old hippie. And he's got this. He's got one of these sets, this euthanasia set. I forgot what it's called now. But it's literally, you get it posted to yourself and then you can kill yourself, basically. I mean, fucking hell, look where we are now.
Attenborough will be pleased.
And he says to him, he goes, what have you got this shit for? This was quite interesting, right? He says, what have you got this shit for? And he goes, oh, no, I bought it to kill the rats. And he said, regardless of what you think, they do go very peacefully. I thought that was an interesting point. And then later in the film, when the walls are closing in on the Michael Caine character, it shows him pick the box up and go towards his wife, who's in a catatonic state. So he's going to euthanize her.
These are all little bits in a film. Yeah. When you think about the... Do you know when they get acted... We hear the phrase method actor. But if you think about how you think in a daily basis to do certain roles, you're putting thought into that, which means that you're putting it means effort and all that type of stuff. Well, they do the same. They build not just the character, but the actual scene, don't they, in the mind of how they're acting. And the director is telling them what he wants them to do. Lift that box. It's a suggestion to people type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like 20 years later, somebody like you picks up on it.
Well, a lot of these films, whatever this means, they have futurists, don't they, who say what's coming. So did someone say in 2006, we're going to be pushing euthanasia in 2020s? Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Well, certainly, I mean, David Attenborough's dad was part of British Euthanasia Society or whatever it was. He started it up.
Would you say it is out of the question, right? Out of the question.
Nothing's out of the question.
In 3 or 4 years' time, that you can get a euthanasia set sent to your house.
Well, Dignity and Dying are hoping to do that type of thing, aren't they?
Is that out of the? It's not out of the question, is it?
What was that thing I saw? There was an ex Paralympian who I forget what wrong with her now. There was something that was wrong with her, but instead of offering a treatment, they offered her a euthanasia program. I think she was Canadian. And she'd competed in Olympics for her country. I mean, you think euthanasia program? I mean, again, as we know, 25, 30 years ago, to call somebody to be racist is not what it takes to be racist today. They've pulled the lines back in just by saying, "Well, I don't care about what homosexuals do. It's up to them. That's their choice. That means you don't care and you're homophobic." Yeah.
By saying nothing, you're a racist.
Yes.
I mean, how the F have they got to
that? Only by agreeing. So going back to euthanasia, if you're terminally ill, right, you know, people would say, well, if I'm a cabbage on a life support machine, I want to go, right?
I would always say it like this, right? There is an argument for it. There is an argument.
Well, there always is, though, isn't there? There's an argument for racism and homophobia, yeah? Mm. There's an argument for all of it. There's an argument for not eating as much meat and not eating. There's arguments for all of it.
Not drinking too much, by the way. I'm just going to have my bottle of it.
Yeah. What are you on tonight? Which piss are you on tonight?
Bottle of Governor.
Yeah. I bet, mind you, it's pointless me asking. Did you get that in like a Creator 12 or something?
Yes, I did. I get it in a Creator 12 every month.
Don't speak to your up like that. Give you like a pamphlet. They don't give you a pamphlet or up like that when it comes through. As a warning, you know. you think, hey, I'm already a member of that. If I break down, I'm all right.
I am actually. Yeah. But anyway, another thing I noticed in this film: big poverty, you know, rich divide, and then there were Muslim. I thought this was odd, but it was 2006. So I suppose the Muslim terrorist shenanigans have been ramped up, but they were actually dressed in the black bandanas like the ISIS thing that turned up some years later. I thought that was interesting. And also, one little note, and then I'll finish on this, was while preparing for filming this film, the London bombings happened, the 7/7 bombings.
Right.
And the opening scene, which was on Fleet Street in London, was shot a month after the bombings. And so they literally continued filming. And at the beginning of the film, it is like terrorist bomb attacks, which is quite interesting as well.
Well, I mean, I had a look at the lady that wrote that. I mean, you thought it was a bloke, P.D. James.
I've heard the name. I don't know any of the books, but yeah, I've heard the name.
She was Phyllis Dorothy James White, Baroness James of Holland Park, OBE. Oh,
Here we go.
OBE, FRSA, FRSL. The FRSA part is the Royal Society for the Encouragement of Arts, Manufacturers and Commerce, commonly known as the Royal Society of Arts. And the FRSL was the Royal Society of Literature. So she was a member of all these. And she was known as P.D. James.
I might actually get that book, if I wouldn't mind reading it.
Yeah, I'm going to have a read of it, yeah.
Also, just as a quick part, another side note as well. So it was in 2008 when the flu pandemic in the film happened. Mm. 19 years later is 2027. Just to throw a little numerology in there.
Yeah.
And 2027. Well,
that were around the time. Numerology
realized there's 11-9 as well, 9-11.
Well, I mean, I don't know how accurate the dates were in the book to what it is now. So whether they changed it from the film to the film. That'd be interesting to know. Because I think she, when did she write that book? She wrote Children of Men in 1992.
Right.
But the strange thing is she wrote three miscellaneous novels, Innocent Blood, Children of Men, and Death Comes to Pemberley. All the others were like detective novels. One of the main one were Adam Dalgliesh, who was turned into a TV program. Yeah,
that's where I know the name from. I think they used to plug it as a P.D. James show, didn't they? I think.
Yeah, the director of that film's quite an interesting character as well, isn't it? Alfonso Cuarón, he's called.
Yeah, he hadn't done that many films, has
no,
he?
No, he hasn't. No.
Did an Harry Potter film.
Mexican filmmaker. Film. Yeah.
I thought, I knew he was a Mexican filmmaker. I thought he was a different guy, but he hadn't actually made that many films, has he?
No. And his son's a filmmaker as well, Jonas Cuarón. And he hadn't done that many films. Hmm. So, his dad's done quite a lot of TV work.
Yeah, he did the third Harry Potter film, which some people said at the time was the best one. I remember watching them with Seb actually going to the cinema, and I thought it was the best one. Gets a bit darker, but I would recommend the film Children of Men. It is a very well done film. It's quite famous for its long panning shots, you know, without any cuts or breaks in it.
But again, we're coming to cultural change, aren't we? I think remember we did that podcast with Crow Jason that Mark arranged and Wayne McCroy. Crow were talking. Mm. We were talking about Lawrence of Arabia, weren't we? Where you could actually tell they were in a desert somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
and you could tell at times they were actually filming in with desert scenes, and David Lane, like that one, it looks real, didn't it?
Well, it was. I mean, yeah, you're right. Actually, that's a good point. It was before the mass everything CGI. Yeah, because these films, you can tell, there's something you can feel in them, can't you?
Yes,
I tried to watch the new Indiana Jones film, and there's a bit. I noticed where they're out at sea. I think they're in Greece or somewhere, or Italy, I can't remember. And you can see that the background's fake. Mm. Is there any need in this day and age not to take Harrison Ford out on a boat and just film the fucking thing on a boat?
Well, especially with the budget. I mean, these budgets are hundreds of millions of dollars now. They're not $20 million films, are they?
No. I think they're just the money laundering.
Where does the money go? That's what I think. If it's all done on a computer, which is meant to save money, where does it go? If it's all animation and AI.
You probably won't know this, but there were a Japanese version of Godzilla came out. And I watched it, Godzilla Minus One. Got really good reviews. And I forget how much it cost. It was something like, it's actually Japanese and it's in Japanese. And it circles around a kamikaze pilot who backs out at the last minute. And it's just before the end of the, you know, just before the Hiroshima bomb. And he backs out. But it cost, I think, $10 million to make or something stupid.
Right.
And it's embarrassing because it's really good. And the effects are brilliant. You know, you can't knock it. Better than any of the American, but they did it for $10 million.
But none of these films now, like you say, there's no soul in the film.
No.
Regardless of whether the films before were agenda pushing, which I'm sure they all were at some point, right? Yeah. A lot of these films, even the cheap ones, had some kind of soul there. Mm. And I remember making, say, Band of Brothers. It cost $10 million an episode going back into the late 90s. But there was some realism there. They were actually in a trench. Mm. Whereas move on to that film 1917. Mm. And even the actors don't look real. The features don't look real anymore, let alone where they're acting in.
I think I've said this before, but I always think that Whereas in the old films, the story was good and the effects were trying to catch up with how good the stories were.
Yeah.
Now they've got all the effects they can muster, but the stories are shit and they've lost something with the CGI.
There's no imagination, Chris. That's I watched that, going back to that 1917 film, they have some good actors in. They're not rubbish actors, these people, either.
Did you watch that film?
I haven't watched it, no. I haven't watched it. But they're not, I've seen clips of it, but they're not rubbish actors, these people. Like Sam Mendes isn't a crap director. But when you see him running on trenches and people being blown up, and he's running on that trench and not getting touched, it's like, that wouldn't happen. Mm. Because...
It takes a fragment of metal, doesn't it? Or a bit of shrapnel just to touch.
Well, the shockwave, Chris.
Screaming on the floor, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. You can't put Rocky music on and push yourself through it. It doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just doesn't work that way.
No, life doesn't work.
But that Sam Mendes, he's a proper.
He did the Bond film.
Yeah. Sorry. Sir Samuel Alexander Mendes, CBE.
he did the last three or four Bond films, didn't he?
Right.
Is that right?
I mean,
might be wrong.
He did Road to Perdition, which were a good film, even though it had wanks in it. Mm. That were a good film. That
based on a comic book, that was a graphic novel.
Right. Mm. Then he does Jarhead. I mean,
that's a system film in it, as I would say.
Yeah. Well, 1917 is a system film in it, and when you look at these James Bond films, I mean, I stopped watching James Bond because again, it's going woke, isn't it?
It's another example for the last one. I couldn't even be asked to try and watch it. Right. I couldn't even be bothered.
No, I couldn't either. And I used to love James Bond.
I like the Casino Royale.
I watched Jane Blonde now.
Mm. But again, interesting, isn't it? That if you take a James Bond film, the bad guy is always like, I can never say thrombolist. You say it.
What, philanthropist?
I can never say
trampolinist. Yeah, just say trampolinist.
Yeah, trampolinist. Yeah. The bad is in Bond films.
It's your goat lips. That's what's your problem.
They're always trampolinists, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, they're always your Bill Gateses and your Elon Musks. But when it happens in real life, no one fucking believes it.
but I mean, who is it? Mendes.
Did he do the James Bond films?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. His mum were Valerie Helen Mendes, English novelist, poet. Mendes known for teenage fiction novels. Girl in the Attic.
All right. I've heard that.
Yeah. So he just fell over and become a director, Chris.
Right, yeah. It's all sounding a bit Huxley to me. I had a little Huxley flashback when you said that.
I bet if you did some digging there, I bet there's some intelligence links somewhere in her, in their background. Mm.
Do you know, I'm just looking at the wiki of this Children of Men, 109 minutes. The ones and nines in this film, best of the 21st century, voted by one of the best film, 13th among the 100 films considered by the best of the 21st century by 117 film critics. Why does it have to be 117?
I don't know.
I'm not a numerologist, but there's a lot of nines and ones in this shenanigans, Children of Men.
His granddad were a famous guy as well. His part block must be... Trinidad, from Trinidad and Tobago, and he were a novelist as well. His granddad, Mendes's granddad, Alfred Hubert Mendes.
Come on,
and Mendes. He won a million. That's it. I knew there was a story there. His granddad was in World War One.
Right. Apparently. Well, he was probably saying that when he brought out 1917.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. He's Portuguese Creole. Is Mendes.
Right. And again, the. I remember when that 1917 came out. I never watched it. I don't think I could stomach a war film these days.
Right.
But the big selling point, like Children of Men as well, coincidentally, was the long tracking shot, you know, where there's no cuts.
Yeah.
That's what they kept going on about. They've done one of the longest tracking shots.
Here we go. Just listen to this one, Chris. Just wanted a few minutes ago, you said about Mendes, right? What did you say? It's all going a bit
Huxley.
Listen to this. This is his granddad. Mendes' first novel, Pitch Lake, appeared in 1934 with an introduction by Aldous Huxley.
Fucking hell. don't even know what to say, do you? You don't need to.
Social realism in West Indian novelist, and it were called. Hang on a minute. Both published by Duckworth in London, the novels are significant in the history of literature from the Caribbean region and are landmarks in the establishment of social realism.
Bloody hell. He obviously didn't get chosen for a Brave New World or 1984. They left it to his...
Social realism is a term used for work produced by painters, printmakers, photographers, writers and filmmakers that aims to draw attention to the real socio-political conditions of working class as a means to critique power structures behind the conditions.
Yeah, well, that's what George Orwell, he was a social realist then, wasn't he, I suppose?
Yeah. But Sam Mendes' dad established social realism in West Indies.
Right, I'm sure they wanted it in West Indies.
Yeah. Again, it didn't. There's no plumbers, is there? But anyway, we went a bit off piece there.
That's not off piece. That's cracking.
On piece.
That's mental. Because we were just. I mean,
that was pure chance. That's not even. Yeah. I'm not even doing any.
No, you just. I saw you looking it up, but just by chance, I said this is all getting a bit hooked because you were saying, "Oh, sir, this and blah blah blah." Mm. And it is. Why did Huxley do an introduction to his book?
So Mendes, right, attended the same Primrose Hill Primary School and was in the same class as Foreign Secretary David Miliband and author Zoe Heller. I've never heard of her.
I've heard of Zoe Heller. Who's that?
Yeah, a journalist and novelist resident in New York. She has published three novels, Everything You Know, Scandal, and The Believers. I don't know that. Anyway, she...
But The Believers, that were... Is she old?
No, it's Mendes' age.
Notes on a Scandal. I think, is that what made her famous? Her name rings a bell, I don't know. I don't know who she is.
I mean, this is how research starts, by the way. This is what happens. So you find a little tidbit and you go with it. And also, he were at the Magdalen College, Oxford, where he met future theatre designer Tom Piper. Don't know who Tom Piper is, but I'm going to go and have a look, right? Let's see who Tom Piper is. Tom Stephen Towery Piper, MBE, British theatre designer, might have been on that Julian Huxley thing, who regularly collaborated with director Michael Boyd. Sir Michael Boyd, sorry. He became an associate designer with the Royal Shakespeare Company. All interlinked. Interesting, isn't it? But like we were saying before, and I know, again, it's going off piece. We're still on films, I suppose, but the set designers, costume designers, like Jenny Packman is her name, yeah?
Yeah, Jenny Packman.
Who designed you'll see this in the next Huxley, if you want to go, we're going to real detail about this, where she designed several of Princess Kate's dress, including the Rosemary's Baby one, and the last one with Audrey Hepburn.
I think we mentioned it in the last Prince Horse Fight.
Yeah, but we're going to detail in that Huxley one, don't we? Yeah. We spend about 10, 15 minutes on that. Yeah.
Well, I thought that were a cracking find.
But this is just as good a find because I know if you went into this, we've already found a Huxley link.
Yeah, Sam Mendes.
Sam Mendes.
Who's revered as one of Britain, one of the best directors around, I suppose.
Yeah. Not far, you don't have to travel far to find...
If you were a super creative director, would you really go from your own stuff to James Bond? I don't know. I liked Casino Royale, though, when that came out.
That wasn't him, though, was it?
No, I don't think it was, no.
No, I like Casino Royale. I thought Casino Royale... Again, let's go back. It was 2006-7, right?
Yeah. Drag you in, and then we're going to agendarize the fucking thing.
Can you remember the opening scene in Casino Royale where he's chasing that guy who was obviously one of them street jumpers?
Yeah, yeah.
That were amazing.
Yeah. And they redid it where he's not all suave, he's in an Hawaiian shirt and he's just chasing a guy through streets.
Normally it were a car chase, didn't it, at the beginning? But he did it on foot.
Big stunt. Yeah. Yeah. It was good. I really enjoyed that when it came out.
Then it totally changed going into 2010s because the second one were quite good. Anyway, we won't get into James Bond. But I mean, again, we're going to James Bond in the next Huxley one a little bit. Well, the Fleming family, where we mention about Christopher Lee, who I found out, I put a video on the next Huxley one. He was a cousin of Ian and Peter Fleming.
Yeah. And I would say, if you think about the way that they've done Bond over the years, he is like
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee. Suave. You know, you can dinner jacket, you can picture him dressed like that, can't you?
Well, Christopher Lee is
James Bond, can't it?
Christopher Lee, they did say that Ian Fleming modelled James Bond on Christopher Lee and his wartime undercover experiences.
But even the suave and sophisticated Englishness of him,
yes,
you would say that's how you imagine James Bond to be. Yeah. And he played the James Bond badly, didn't he?
Yes, he did, yeah.
Man with a golden gun.
Insane, isn't it? right. Well, President Trumpet.
I saw Enter the Stars do a video on Trumpet, and this was before he apparently got shot at. And he was, do you remember those old Illuminati cards? Fine, big in the conspiracy world. Going back, isn't it mad if anyone doesn't know, just very briefly, someone in their 90s, I think they brought out, I've always wanted to buy it, but it's about 50 quid, isn't it? They brought out a card game called the Illuminati, and it had loads of cards in it. I'm sure a lot of people know what I'm talking about here, but a lot of them have come true. One of them was a picture of literally a face that looked exactly like Donald Trump. Looked exactly like him, and they made these cards in the 90s, and then it became present. No one had ever thought it. But anyway, he was pointing out, someone sent him an Into the Stars, so it was on YouTube, that on the card, he's got a bullet going past his ear. It's like a line going through his ear.
There is a picture, isn't there? Well, they say, the Washington Post got a picture of the bullet speeding past. Have you seen it?
Well, they
actually told you what camera it was shot on. Right, and it does actually say, right, but you've got to alter the camera, so you've physically got to know there's a bullet going to go past for it to take that
picture. It'd be a high speed shutter speed, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So the chances of them knowing that unless they were in the inn is nonsense, and it looks a bit odd anyway, but I don't know what a bullet looks like going past someday, but
my initial reaction, and obviously our initial reaction is going to be it's all a fraud, right? But I watched it in the evening, and then I saw it again. I watched it a bit in the morning. And to me, right, he grabs his ear, and then all these security guys run around him. I mean, they could easily just paint him up. There's no blood when he see it happen. Anyway, I would say it's shenanigans.
It's shenanigans from day one, because even if somebody is climbed on a roof with a pair of ladders from B&Q, managed to shimmy up onto a roof, right? It just wouldn't happen. You know, there's been various people from special forces or other governments saying that wouldn't happen because they'd have just planned out the routes and all this type of nonsense. We've heard all this before anyway.
150 yards away, come on.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. It'd have been taken out by a copper with a revolver on the ground. Yeah. I'm sorry, but it would have been. But regardless of that, it's shenanigans, like you say. There's something going on, whether it's real. I mean, if I were going to put money on it, right, there's two options. Mm. There's one, that wasn't real blood, right? Mm. And they took a picture under the American flag with blood dripping down his face, like Okinawa, flags of my father's type of photo.
You
only
have to flag. See that photo to know there's a bit of staging going on.
Yes. Now,
fish pumping, blood on his face, and American flag behind him.
Yeah. Oof,
I mean, come on. I mean, I reckon it was the same photographer that when they went in and then stormed the White House and got all
the Buffalo wings. I'm going to say Buffalo wings then.
With Barney Rubble hat on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they broke in, Chris.
Yeah. Very easily.
You could see where they were going around knocking all vases off and stuff, smashing place up. They were really bad people.
They had a face of a bemused person wondering, how the hell did we get in here?
Why are special forces?
Possibly the most defended building on the planet. Yeah. And a load of blooming blokes just walking.
Yeah. From nowhere.
I know.
A lot of them people, I know, again, we're talking about, have committed suicide.
All right.
And they've been locked up for life or.
I mean, I don't know. How can you look at that Trump thing and not think it's shenanigans. I think most people do. A lot of some of my mates who think I'm nuts have actually messaged me and said, I got the impression they thought it was shenanigans.
And they're squares, aren't they?
I thought they were taking the piss out of me, actually.
Yeah.
By saying, have you seen that?
Yeah.
But I don't think they were.
Yeah. And they're proper squares.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to say
wildebeests.
Well, yeah, whatever you want to call them.
But NPCs. Something
else I've noticed about the Trump shenanigans.
Sheep.
You're just going to wind me up, right?
No.
You are. I don't like any of them terminologies.
No, you don't. But...
Although I can't deny sometimes you're right. But I was at work today and something dawned on me is no one's talking about it either. I mean,
no.
In the 80s, a president getting shot was a pretty big deal, wasn't it? Now it's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
We're almost desensitized.
Lobotomized.
Lobotomized, yeah.
And to be fair, I don't think anybody cares.
No.
But what happened to... Apparently, somebody got shot behind him and killed. I haven't heard any names or up like that of the person that deceased. Nobody's saying, what about that poor bloke behind him? Mm. Just Donald Trump's here.
Yeah. And I mean, the size of them... I'm making a guess here because I don't know anything about guns, but the further away you are with the gun, usually the bigger the bullet. I mean, when you get a proper sniper rifle, like...
But that's not a proper... He didn't even have a scope on it.
But another thing that was interesting, in fact, when I saw it in the evening, I switched the news on because I heard about it. And then I watched a bit in the morning for about 10 minutes. The question in the evening, the discussion in the evening was, anyone could do it with a bit of training with a gun from that distance.
I couldn't.
Yeah. No, I couldn't. But what I mean is, and then in the morning, I had the exact same conversation. Mm. So that was a big part of the conversation for whatever reason that...
Yeah.
You know, you could do it without any military training, without scopes. We're only 150 with a decent, with whatever, blah, blah. That was a massive part of the conversation.
But what you're forgetting is you physically have to be invisible to do it.
Yeah.
You'd have to be invisible to be able to get on that roof in reality and not be blown off it.
If I'm going to put my two pence in, I think it was all horseshit. I think it was literally... They've taken the WWF wrestling to another level here, but it's just more stage show. That's all I can think it was.
Well,
I mean, you've got to ask your gut as well. When you saw that in your gut, did you think, oh no, or did you just think?
Well, no, to be fair, I haven't actually. I watched him asking for his shoes and stuff like that. Which what's all that about?
That's another point. The shoe thing, the Masonic shoe thing. Which, if you remember the Oli Demograd stuff with all the terrorist attacks, there's always shoes lying around.
Yeah.
Why ask for his shoes? He said that they hit him that hard that his shoes came off. So he were asking the.
His wig didn't, though.
No, his wig stayed on, but his shoes came off. But what? And that were in numerous news reports as well that he were asking for his shoes.
Mm.
I mean, if you look at it from a non conspiratorial, it could be shock or whatever that he's just been shot at. So you're asking for.
Well, he took his shoes off.
Yeah. No, he said that the what they call it. Whatever they're called, CIA, whatever.
He
jumped him so hard that his shoes fell off. I mean, he wears broke type, tied up shoes. They don't just fall off, do they? Repairing
well, no. That's what Biden wears because he didn't have to tie them. A pair of slip ons.
Tartan slippers.
Yeah, some tartan slippers he wears behind his podium.
Some telling tea bags.
When he's walking past the other way. Anyway, I saw a newspaper article moving on. It said, this is what the COVID deaths rise as rooster booster, jibber jabbery, take up falls. So less people are getting it. Hundreds of thousands of vulnerable people in Scotland have not received their latest Divot booster as part of the spring Armspear campaign.
Are they still dishing them out for?
Well, it sounds like it. BBC Scotland analysis of official health figures shows it's come to the latest figures and show death from COVID continue to rise. Oh, that's weird. After they've just, what did it say? After the spring campaign, extermination campaign, and COVID figures arise. So what they do is they say, well, we won't say it's, obviously there's taps. It's happened after every one of them, hasn't it? Where deaths have risen. After every vaccination campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
The figures from Public Health Scotland, they're to be believed, show 49 deaths in the week beginning July 1st, with almost three quarters of them in the over 75 age group. No mention about them, whether they're jabbed or not.
No.
Now, let's have a breakdown of how many of them 49 have been jabbed, either from 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever we're on, 9, 19th booster.
What are they on now? 10? They must be on 10 by now.
Yeah.
Wow.
The vaccine data shows almost 260,000 at-risk people, including the elderly, those in care homes, and those with weakened immune systems, even more weakened now, have not received the latest rooster booster by the programme's end date of 30th of June.
Mental.
Still at it. Still at it. They're relentless, aren't they?
Yeah. You've got to give them that. You've got to give them some credit there. They are relentless.
Yeah. They are relentless. I mean, one of our...
It's just sweep up time though, fight, isn't it? Because now there's a lot of people going, no, but the ones who are still die hard will continue to go.
Yeah. Well, one of our old boys' best mates passed away this last week, didn't he? Yeah. In his 70s. Now, since 2020, our dad passed away July 2020.
Mm. Yeah. On my birthday.
Jibbery jabberies. But I know he'd just been in for some sort of medical work. And if you think about the deaths due to medical procedures,
he was in his 80s as well.
Yeah, he was in his 80s. But four of his friends, so he passed away, right? And four of his friends since 2020 have died now. Yeah, four of his, the people he sort of used to hang out with, I suppose. That's five people, and then a couple of people across road, same age group, have all gone. Yeah. I mean, I know people as they get older, obviously they're going to pass away, but
not in that much condensed.
No,
and they're not all the same age either. Fact they're not. It's not like they're all in the 90s or anything.
No,
they're all old folk, but in that little condensed. I mean, I don't know if I want to say this, but one of my school friends died last week. Mm. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't the healthiest of guys.
Yeah, but we're talking here, Chris. My age. Yeah, but sorry, but we're talking here, right, of three people in a week again who you know very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like our neighbour, our dad's mate, and your mate, right, dying within a week.
Yeah.
And it happens nearly every week.
Yeah. I've had the news delivered to me of two people I know very closely have died in the same week. Yes. One 50 and one in his 70s. Mm. I don't know. I can't say it was that. I don't know if it was or not, but that's happened to me.
I know they're all... Well, we don't... Yeah, I know our dad's mate were tapped because I told him not to.
Yeah, I remember. And also a girl I used to work with who was my age, she died 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I'll say this because I did ask my missus if I could say it, but because I don't think anyone will listen to this. But my wife's boss at work, he died of pancreatic cancer. I don't want to upset.
About a year ago.
No, Christmas time, fire.
Yeah.
He got diagnosed and he was dead within a year.
Yeah.
And he was the loveliest bloke you could ever meet. You know, like my missus talked about him and they were really good friends and he was lovely. His wife's lovely. But he continued to get tapped right up until he passed away. And he just lost weight.
Sad, isn't it?
And they told him he was terminal. Mm. And I saw him losing weight. They didn't diagnose him. As soon as they diagnosed him, within a year, he was what, 53? Mm. And, I'm sure his wife's lovely.
It's no age, is it? It's no age.
No, but also, I'll finish on this because... But also my wife's, she's had a fucking shitstorm, to be fair to her.
Yeah.
My wife's grandma died. I mean, she was old. She was like late 80s, 90s. But it wasn't that she died for it. It was the rapidity of her downfall. She just went within months. Just like that was just going and going and going. Mm. And now my missus's dad's ill as well. And I asked her because I can't put these words in people's mouths. I've asked her about a boss and I've asked her about a grandma and a dad and said, do you think that they got ill because of the... She goes, yeah, because it was literally within weeks of it happening, these declines happened. I mean, I know I've brought it up about all the guys at work have all lost a parent, five people at work within 6 months.
Yeah.
It can't be a coincidence because you never saw it before. I mean, you could say it's our age and we're getting older, so you've seen these things, but you only have to look through the... I know people probably don't want to hear about this, but I think it's very necessary to talk about it. But I flicked through the... just to cheer myself up. Not sure I'm joking, but looked at... Putting Died Suddenly, because I hadn't looked for a while. And on the page one of Putting in Died Suddenly in the last week, first picture of Team 13 who died suddenly during a football match. Aspiring footballer 12 dies tragically in a football match. History-making NFL champion dies suddenly, age 40. Mm. Apparently of natural causes when I read the article. Heartfelt tributes to Royal Navy sailor who died suddenly. And there was more underneath that. I personally, and I don't want to be a fucking grim reaper of it, I personally think it's got worse. I think it's got worse. It's got weird and different and worse. And we're heading towards Children of Men, 2027. Mm. When then they start making excuses for infertility?
Well, I think they've started making excuses for infertility, haven't they? I mean, going back to the people, say, of our dad's age, who, we get, but our mum died at 64, no, way before all this started.
Yeah.
But was this the start of all this shenanigans? As in, you know, people work all the life, and Mark read this out, I don't know if you heard his latest 8.0 out, and this weren't a pity party, I wasn't trying to get, say, oh, everything's woke, because we're quite upbeat, positive type characters, but you can't help but notice that the whole system that we live in is some sort of trauma vehicle, because everything you do, even, I mean, I had a quite a successful small business in my area, I did all right, thank you very much, no education. But everything with Troy, you still had to go through hell to get there. If you like, you know what I mean. Everything we do is traumatic. Mm. Everything.
Well, I would say it always has been. It's just been ramped up in the last five.
Yeah.
Well, since 9/11, it was ramped up. Then 2020 ramped up again, and now it's a full frontal attack.
But you imagine, right? If we went back through the last two or three years and added up all the people over retirement age who's gone, who were tapped, who's gone, right? Including me, including his dad, right? I know people that live around here that their parents have gone. Mm. Not all, that's impossible. But imagine the system, right? Imagine how much money they've just raked back by killing these people off. Mm. And I know it sounds horrible, and some people maybe listening won't believe that that's what our government or that whoever's running this shit show wants to do. But it's true.
They wanted to tap pregnant women fire.
Yeah.
You can't get any more sinister than that, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But imagine, I don't know, it's hard to imagine, but not for us, obviously, but a lot of people, everyone listening to this. But
did you hear that thing that Mark read out?
They can't make that link over that they want you fucking dead.
Yeah. Did you hear that thing that Mark read out?
No, I haven't yet. I've been at work, so...
I'll read it out. And I put around more ideas, I'm afraid, that there's no answers, just ideas. And I started it. Our mother worked all her life, then died suddenly in 2009, just after retirement, age 64. My dad was a bit of a tyrant, but lived until he was 82, having fallen out with everyone. So on a micro level, that in a nutshell is what we're talking about. Nice person dies young, etc. Me and Chris, and she had a traumatic life. She didn't know her father. She was black in a country in late 40s and 50s. You know what I mean?
Just to interrupt, sorry, where are you reading this? Where's this from?
I wrote this on an email to Mark.
Oh, right, sorry.
It's not on that sheet there that you've got. Me and Chris have a thing we discuss in private called the Watson Curse. It's not a sympathy party. It's just more of an observation. It's just that we seem to have what we call attachment attacks from people who we previously were either friends with or colleagues of. And it sounds bonkers. We discuss this phenomenon on a podcast. We have spoke about it. It's like sentinels have been placed to derail. And I'm not, again, I can only observe it from our lives, right? Sentinels are placed to derail just small and large things in your life to just to knock you off track and hold you back. Like me with Lyme disease, for argument's sake, right? when you're flying through life and then all of a sudden, boom, or me nipper getting bloody epilepsy or whatever, you're right. It's very interesting to observe, though, and it also happens to our wives before they met us. I'm sure it happens to other people. It's not just us. And well, so, go on, sorry, go on.
No, I'm going to say, I noticed that I remember talking to you, and we witnessed it live happen to Seb, didn't we?
Yes.
And Jacob with his spot.
Yes,
No point going into details, but almost, and I'm sure it happens to everybody, by the way, but it's like an attack that is, put it like this, right? I've worked in places, I've worked in a few places. I've had managers, you know, working as a chef, but I've worked places where the manager, and I can be a knobhead sometimes without like anyone else, but generally I want the business to succeed because it's my job, etc.
Yeah.
But I've worked in places where the actual manager would rather make my life hard, even to make the business suffer.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of it, just literally for the sake of it. And I'm sure everyone's witnessed this kind of stuff, so I'm not being a whiny bitch or anything, but I think I coined it the Watson curse years and years ago. Because his dad used to get it as well. He was a very outgoing, he was a nut job, but he was a very outgoing, likable character. And I don't know, certain folk just try and take you down, don't they? For no relevant reason.
And people you've helped as well, which I find even more odd. Like you owe them something for helping them. Mm. Me and Crabclaws were talking the other day. It'd be good to get on to talk about this actually, because he's a bit of a similar character. I actually get a kick out of allowing people to take credit for something I've done.
Yeah, I couldn't give a shit.
No, but I actually enjoy it. I go out of my way to actually do it, right? Yeah. And then that person would fucking bite you on that. I find it an odd phenomenon. Again, I haven't got a bad life. I'm not fucking feeling sorry for myself in the short. I find it interesting. I find it very interesting observation because it's like, again, it sounds a bit wacky, but going back to Jerry Mazinski, what we talked about with Jerry all them times, are these people put in place in this simulation or whatever we're bloody living in this Tron-like existence that we have, to derail us so you don't actually fulfil what you're here to do?
I'll say this, and I don't want to sound egotistical because there's no ego involved in this comment, but we're doing this podcast now, right? Mm. And when we did the ones up north, you remember, the guy gave us the silver key ring and the woman gave us the cupcakes and stuff.
Yeah.
And these people came up and, you know, a lot of people came up to us and said how much we'd helped them through the nonsense and stuff like that. So that's a positive.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but you're meeting people who are very similar, because you don't want anything off them. They don't want anything off you. Yeah. They're giving things. But you've got people who pretend that they're giving something.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, I'm not on about that.
I'm not on about them people, by the way. Them people.
Yeah. No, but what I'm trying to say is, so these people have told us we've helped them, me and you, me and Nobed, you just doing what we're doing, which is fantastic. And I'm trying not to sound egotistical, but then was someone trying to stop us from doing this and helping some people?
What, in the future? Like a Sarah Connor type thing.
Do you know, I often think that as everyone's got a reason, and your reason could be that you just give some advice to your child and they move on and then they do the next thing.
Mm.
It could be a positive and a negative version of that. You know, there could be a negative version where someone tells you to do, you know, get a voice in your head telling you to do something and you do it. And then that destroys the next person you meet. But then the positive version could be that you get a bit of advice and you pass it on to someone and then, you know, like you say, that Sarah Connor effect, but
a bit
more long-winded and boring.
So if there's people like that that bring positive things, right, in your life, there are going to be people that do that on the other side of it, a bit like my wife, we knew a mate who were a PT, personal trainer, so she were training with my missus, right?
Right.
I didn't sort of know her. My missus didn't know her. I met her at gym, said she was a personal trainer. And my missus wanted to do a bit of training and didn't want me shouting at her while she was.
Didn't want you involved.
Yeah, didn't want me involved, in other words.
Can't blame her for that.
Anyway, so this was 2018, right? So she came up to house and I think she wanted to get pregnant. So we did some, we had a lady come around doing some stuff
like. Right?
some bioresonance testing and stuff like that, and told her what to take. Anyway, she became pregnant. All right, and obviously, I've been going on about jibbery jabberies and stuff like this in her ear. And she'd been listening to this woman, her and my missus used to talk about somebody on Instagram who said she was a female version of me, because she was talking about jabs as well.
Right.
Now, she's had two kids, and she hadn't jabbed any of her kids. Now I don't see her.
Right.
Yeah. It's not that we've fallen out or anything, moved away or whatever, but what I'm trying to say is people come into your life, pass information on, they move on, right?
Did she know you for that brief moment?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say, yes. Yeah.
Just so that could
That's
be
what
like.
I find intriguing. Yeah. And then there are other people that like they've put a weight on your back. You know, and I've had them people in my life and they've affected our lives, and I'm sure other people that you weren't even meant to be around. There were no benefit other than probably materialism or something that you're with them people for. No, don't matter what sort of relationship it was, friend, other female, male, whatever it is, that they're in your life for work colleague, and all they do is cause you grief. Hmm. Yeah. And we've all
that, you can almost imagine it in that age old thing of you've got a demon and an angel.
Like Jason and the Argonauts and God's looking down.
Or a demon and an angel on one corner, one side and the other one. And we all have that, don't we? You know, you're getting told one decision, and you know the other one's the right one, but you go with the wrong one, etc.
Yeah.
Or you react badly and all that stuff.
Mm.
I think it is very Jerry Maginsky in time. We probably haven't explained any of this very well.
No, I think we have, because what Mark were talking, we were talking about karma, right?
Right.
The emails. And I put, is karma another trick made up by the controlling parasite to make us believe that there is some kind of fairness and balance to life?
Yeah, but the karma could just be in your mind. I don't mean in your mind as your mental. What I mean is it could just be that if you do something bad, then, you know, the karmic effect is that you feel bad, even though you don't know how bad you feel.
And that energy is pumped out, I feel like. Yeah.
If I saw a fiver hanging out of someone's pocket and I nicked it out of his back pocket, I don't necessarily need a fiver to be lost on me, but I'd feel bad. The guilt wouldn't weigh up to nicking the fiver off him. No. Some people don't feel guilt and they don't care. Like we've said in this podcast numerous times, it probably sleep like fucking babies. You know?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I can never sleep properly. No. Insomnia.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For whatever reason. But I don't know. I don't think karma's as black and white as that. I think you delivered in this existence what you need to be delivered and what you can take as well.
Mm.
And that's what, I don't know. My personal belief, anyway, is that we delivered what we need to be delivered.
Well, I think the symbol of the apple, Adam and Eve, apple, for instance, is that the material objects in his life are here to derail us, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because whether it's a one pence material object or a £1 million material object, the old saying is you can't take it with you. And so they're actually irrelevant, aren't they? The one pence one and the £1 million one, or the £10 million one, whatever it is irrelevant. So it doesn't matter whether you've got it or not; it's fucking irrelevant.
It's like talking about spoilt kids, right? A spoilt kid, you know, you immediately think money, but it's got nothing to do with money, has it? A spoilt mentality is a mentality that anyone can have, and it's got. We put it down to like a materialistic financial level. But it's not about that, because you can get, I don't know, how do you describe a spoiled mentality? It's like, we're in an age where now everyone acts like a spoiled child. Yeah. I deserve that. I want that. That should be mine.
I've thought about that, so I want it. Yeah.
Yeah. We've created this spoiled mentality generation, haven't we, really?
Yeah.
And it's not about money. You can be piss poor or rich as hell.
Well, with us, it were about yogurts. I used to eat all yogurts.
Used to eat fucking everything. Yeah. Fucking hell. I would like a
like
starved
Tasmanian
rat.
Devil.
I like a starved rat. When we were kids, if we got a curry, I remember my dad would go, just let me try a bit of your sauce and have my fucking chicken and vanish. And then you'd have a dip in and I'd be left with nothing.
Anyway, I finished off by saying the few of us who are awake and the NPCs are put through a life of constant trauma from so many directions that it has to be an organised objective. So karma could be an inverted process with us as the obvious victims, and could possibly be payment from the controllers to the psycho parasites for putting us through the ringer and used for their entertainment to watch, similar to the Hunger Games. A bit like the training places thing as well. Yeah. I mean, we don't know what this is for, do we? Because if you think about, say, a plant, if you were going to nurture it, the stuff you do to us seems normal. But to the plant might say, what are you fucking doing to me? I just want to grow normally, for instance. Yeah.
Well, look at the, what is it, fight? Look at the Biden shenanigans at the minute, right? I cannot, for the for a moment, think that that is a real situation unfolding in front of my eyes. He is either an actor with a fucking Mission Impossible mask on, or because how can you go, you know, if you've met someone who's got that kind of problem in real life, you can't just decide. Cause sometimes he's coherent. I mean, they could be jabbing him with stuff to boost him.
But even when he's coherent, he's not.
Yeah. But what I mean is, it's just another part of the stage show. It cannot be real. It can't be real.
No.
Not for a second.
No.
What, are you trying to tell me that the whole of America, right, even if you look at it from a non-conspiratorial view, the whole of America, a massive majority, voted that guy in, right, even going back them years.
Yeah.
And then now he's in charge of possibly the most powerful country in the world, et cetera, et cetera. It's nonsense.
And they can't see it.
It's nonsense.
And you've got that lady, the spokeswoman, who comes out on that podium saying his compass mentis is the sharpest he's ever been. I mean, as soon as you're having that conversation, right?
Yeah.
You
they're
know
taking the piss
wrong.
Out of us. They're taking the piss out of America.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen there. This Trump, whatever happened, is part of it. But they've got an agenda goal point, right? And they're on the way to it or trying to get to it, whatever.
Mm.
And that's part of it, isn't it? Like 9/11 was, like COVID was. All these things are just part of the agenda point that they're trying to get to, or the New World Order point they're trying to get to, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's just another trailer. It's just another point, isn't it?
Yes.
Getting to that point.
Yeah.
It's shenanigans and bollocks.
Well, so-called intelligent people around and people funding Biden into power or whatever happened there, but people funding it, millions of pounds are spent, if not billions, on getting him into power. Hmm. And yet you can't tell me all them people didn't know that he were pissing himself.
But we've had it in England on a slight, we do it slightly different here, don't we? The old Keir Starmer bollocks. We saw him being lined up years ago. I mean, you can't.
And Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson.
We're not fucking sidekicks, are we?
We're not that clever. Yeah. You can just see the sign. When you've been brought up in, I won't say the gutter, we weren't exactly in the gutter, but you've got that rat mentality where you know when you're getting stiffed.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And that's, I think, what a lot of people who are in our world.
We're willing to admit that we're getting stiffed. The majority of people who I call NPCs, who you don't like it, but let's just call it people who are normies, right? Mm. Wildebeest, I like that better. But people who are normies, right, they don't want to admit that Keir Starmer is possible. I mean, did you know this, Chris, right?
That it's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? It's not a pill, it's a 2 kilo weight.
They published this, I think, in Daily Mail, right, that Keir Starmer went as a, I mean, you see some pictures of him, and it looks like he should be in Bronski Beat, right? but he went to Czechoslovakia during Cold War,
right?
Backpacking, working in fields and stuff, picking stuff. Yeah. And he was on the Czechoslovakian secret police list as a possible spy.
Yeah.
And that's in Daily Mail.
Right. So, again, more, I don't know, telling you certain things, aren't there?
Yeah.
I always think back to old Schwabe, turtleneck, Nakachin. We need to get angry. Are they trying to make everyone angry? Are we so lobotomized, we're just not getting angry quick enough, maybe?
Well, we've been angry. I mean, we saw Mark's knuckles on that microphone. He's had to get a new one. He got angry.
Well, you look at these jib-jab deaths. That makes me very angry, especially when
It does. I mean, we've got a few more to talk about in part two. Should we wrap up part one there?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks everybody for listening to part one. Thanks for everybody who's, I didn't say this beginning, but I do thank everybody for ordering from Health Bunker supplements. Remember to use the code. It's in the show notes. And I'm sure Chris thanks everybody for anybody who's ordered from his gaping gobs.
I've sold a few lately, actually. A few sheep farm stuff as well. Right. I was thinking, actually, maybe we should sponsor Gaping Gob should sponsor the podcast.
Well, I take money off you.
Is that a little bit slightly dodgy? That's very dodgy, isn't it?
No, but I take money off you.
Yeah. No.
So you pay me to do it?
Yeah, I'll pay a cheap farm.
Right.
There's a tax dodge there somewhere, isn't there? I don't know there is. But I was going to say, although it's dark and it is interesting, isn't it? I've always said that it is interesting.
Again,
and it's horrible. It's horrible that these things are happening.
We had this conversation on with Lance and Andy, where for some reason, I don't know why, I can step back and look at it. Even with stuff that's happening in your own life, you can step back and see what's going, not necessarily what's going on. I'm not saying I'm the all-seeing bloody person or all like that, but you can see people's behaviour.
This shenanigans is always at the forefront of my mind, the last few years especially, but it always has been for God knows how long. But also, you've got to get on with your normal life and, you know, enjoy yourself, look after your kids and drink some wine for barbecue. Do you know what I mean, though? It's very easy to get bogged down with it because it's very heavy stuff.
It is heavy stuff, and it does take over your life. I mean, me and you will talk for hours on the phone.
We talk at least two or three times a day.
Yeah.
And generally about this kind of shit.
Yeah.
But we always end up laughing about it as well because it's not worth, Do you know what I was going to say, actually? This is an interesting point. Because I work on my own in my shed. And No, I don't mean it like that. But, you know, like you go to work when I was...
Because his missus wants him out of the house.
When I was working as a head chef, you go to work and you think someone had made you in a bad mood or a good mood. So what I find interesting is I wake up and I go in my shed, right? And then I can go in there one day and I can take the world on. You know, I'm like, yes, let's do this. Go in another day and I'm like, oh, I can't be asked. Oh, you know, and nothing's happened. Nothing's
you
changed.
Do you say it in that camp voice in your head?
I say it in the camp voice in my head.
Nothing's happened. Can't be asked.
You know what I'm trying to say, though?
Yeah.
You can have the exact same week. One day you wake up full of beans, ready to take on the world. Another day, when nothing's happened, you wake up and you just feel flat and you can't do anything.
Well, what I'll say to anybody who wakes up full of beans, you need to have an experience of about a month with Lyme disease. You realise you've got no fucking beans.
Well, hey, do you know what? As I was saying it, I was thinking, do you wake up feeling a bit not full of beans when we've been sprayed or bloody zapped with something? Who knows?
Well, we're going on one now, aren't we? We're going to finish, but... youngest one, my eldest tried getting him down to the cricket club. So I took him down the other day and I was talking to one of my eldest mates and he said, I got tapped. He said, I didn't want to, but you know, I didn't not want to go take family on holiday and stuff. And I said, well, he said, did you get it? I said, did I fuck? He said, you know, I didn't. And he went, yeah, no, you didn't. Yeah. And I was talking to him and he went, I'd never met anybody who wishes they had.
Yeah.
Right?
He said that.
But we were talking, right? It was quite pleasing to hear. You know, we were talking about stuff that, you know, he was generally interested in what I got to say. He knew I had a podcast, yeah? And he says, what do you think's causing all this illness then? And I said, well...
Careful what you want. Do you want to know the answer?
Yeah, well, I said, but also you've got to look at what happened around that time. Turned 5G on, the restarted CERN up. There were things that were happening that behind that this could all be a smokescreen, and it could, I doubt it, like, but it could all be, it was too big to be a smokescreen.
An aggressive smokescreen.
Yeah, because all they had to do was turn 5G on if it were that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Everyone would have accepted 5G anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered, would it? If it were just 5G.
Maybe you need the combination of everything.
I'm sure they did. He was accepting of it because he was saying about like bombing Gaza and all this stuff. He were actually saying that. It was good to hear that there were other people out there that were actually on side with it, even though he realised that it were a scam. 2020.
I bumped into a friend of mine. I went to a friend of mine.
He weren't somebody, by the way. They're calling people knobheads for not having it.
Yeah,
he said.
He just got on with it. And
yeah, that's what he said. He said, I just wanted to get on with my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I reckon that's 90%
of
people. There are a few people who are vocal. But I bumped into a mate of mine.
Were we vocal?
You more than me, I'm pretty passively vocal, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I bumped into a friend of mine. I hadn't spoke to for a few years. I went to his wedding a few years ago. Known him for a, probably one of my closer mates in Cambridge. Brian spoke to him for ages, and I always thought, is it because he knows what I would think about the shenanigans? Anyway, I bumped into him and went for a beer. And he said, oh, I bet you're happy that you're right, aren't you? You know, and bet, and I said, well, did you get the, you know, how do you feel about it? And he said, yeah, I believed it. I won't believe any of it anymore, though. No way. You know, it's all bullshit, etc. If they try and do it again, I won't believe it. So I thought, fucking great. But when I went away, I thought, I've never spoke to him about this. But he said to me immediately, I bet you're happy you were right.
But we're not happy we're right.
No. And I've never had this conversation with him. But he just knew what my viewpoint would be already. But thank God, you know, some folk have... change the viewpoint a little bit.
Sadly,
we don't look quite as crazy anymore, do we?
The misinformation experts, Mariana Spring, has got no qualification to be a misinformation expert, but she is. The only part of misinformation was security services. That was the misinformation experts are in security services. But anyway, sadly, I think they've managed to wake quite a few more people up than they actually closed off.
Yeah.
Because if you go on about something for too long, people start becoming suspicious here.
Yeah, I agree.
The more you lie, the more obvious the lie is.
And also, if something's true, you don't need a fact checker because it's true.
Well, again, all this like online. I mean, I don't go online and put comments on people's things. So we just do a podcast and do research. So I don't get involved in any of that nonsense. I'm not saying we're the only ones that don't get involved in it, but most of the people I know don't get involved in stupid arguments with people, calling people names and stuff like that. So they never actually tell you what, like, again, Mariana Spring, never actually tells you what she's been threatened with, does she?
No.
You know, Jeremy Vine sues somebody for being called a name, you know.
grow up pair, you skinny wanker.
Careful, Chris, careful. We meant his bike.
Yeah, I meant his bike was skinny.
His bike's a skinny wanker. Don't call my bike a skinny wanker.
I'm going to sue you because you called me a name.
You call it, yeah. Should have grown up in the 80s and been part spunk.
I know, I'm going to say, well, we probably did. Well, yeah. I'll be going through court cases now, won't we?
Yeah, we would, yeah.
Grow a pair, Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah. Grow a pair of dusters. Anyway, okay, we will wrap it up there. For those of you joining us in part two, we will see you there. For those not, we'll see you next time. But, all right.